Let's read together. Luke 22, verse 31 and 32, right? And the Lord said, ready? 1, 2, begin. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan had desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you to look at this passage. We look at this passage, Lord, because just before, you just had the Lord's Supper. And Father, we want to pray that your Holy Spirit will take your word today. When you personally ministered to Peter and encouraged and challenged him, Lord, we pray the encouragement you gave Peter that night will be our encouragement tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We will overcome. Please be seated. Look up to Luke chapter 22, verse 13. Alright, they were preparing for the Passover feast. Alright, if you read the... It's on. Is the aircon not working? Okay, in Luke chapter 22, if you read the entire Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you will find that there are altogether three Passovers, or rather three Passover feasts that Jesus actually enjoyed with the disciples. That gives us a clue that the fact that Jesus actually was on earth for 3 years. Okay, sorry, he was in the ministry for 3 years after his baptism. So in Luke 22 verse 13, and they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. In verse 14, when the hour was come, so everyone was sitting down. Okay, and by the way, children, just for your Bible knowledge, last time when they eat their dinner, they didn't have a table on. Okay? Alright? What they did was they were all lying on the ground. Okay? They were all lying on the ground, just trying to demonstrate for the children. They will always lie down like this, and then they will eat. Okay? Okay, just for your visual understanding. Alright? Okay? That's why when Jesus, remember, there was a lady who came in to wash the feet of Jesus. Okay? You're not going to be able to reach Jesus' feet if you're on the table. Alright? But because Jesus lying down, the feet was bare, the lady came from behind and was able to wash Jesus' feet. Alright? So that's Bible knowledge for you. Please remember, I'll ask you next week. Just kidding. Alright. And so Jesus said in verse 14, when the hour was come, the Bible says, he sat down the 12 apostles with him. And Jesus said, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. You know what Jesus means here? It's a Hebrew way of saying, I have longed for this night. In other words, it has always been in Jesus' heart. This particular Passover was an important Passover because why? He says, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Before I suffer. The Lord Jesus has set his heart upon wanting to eat this last Passover to the disciples. Why? I'll give you a few reasons. There's no particular reasons why, but you know what? Whatever that's going to happen after, give us a clue. Okay? Why? Because he knew that this last Passover actually marks the beginning of the end of four things. One, it marks the beginning of the end of death, end of sin, end of Satan, and end of, listen carefully, life's defeat. I say again, Jesus says the reason why he longed to eat this final Passover with the disciples is because of four things. Because he knew that as he eat it and go forward to the next events that's going to happen, it is the beginning of the end of death, the end of sin, the end of Satan, and the end of life's defeats. Okay? End of death, because 1 Corinthians 15:54, you just listen. So when this corruptible shall have put on the incorruptible, incorruption, and this mortal have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Amen. When, as a Christian, we go to a funeral, we're not going to be, well, we're sad to miss this person, but you know, one day we'll see that person again. Amen. Death is swallowed, is the end of death, end of sin, because in Romans 8 verse 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. When Jesus died on the cross, there was the end of control of sin over the sinner. Alright? And then the end of Satan, because Luke 10:18, Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fell from heaven. You know what that means? He said, from Satan was up there, I saw him cast down to earth. The destruction of Satan, and finally, end of life's defeats. Life's defeats. John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome this world. I have overcome the world. Now, notice, but before Satan falls, before things are finished in this world, Satan does all he can. Okay, Christians, listen carefully. Satan does all he can to disrupt and to destroy the children of God. I hope that it's not new to you. Satan does all he can to destroy our Christian life. But notice what Jesus said to Peter. Look at Luke chapter 22 and 31. One, and Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Jesus, who can see the spiritual realm, tells Peter, look, Satan wanted you. You know what that means? That means that two things. One, before Satan can do anything to us, he needs to get permission from God. Amen? The book of Job tells us that. But at the same time, after the permission has been granted, Jesus knew what Satan wanted to do already. Okay? And so he said, Satan wanted you to sift you as wheat. Read verse 32. Notice what the Lord Jesus said to Peter. Although Satan wants to destroy you, I pray for you. I prayed for you. Verse 32, but I pray for thee that thy faith fail not, when thou converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now, just an aside thought, as I was thinking through this, one question came to my mind was, did the Lord Jesus Christ pray also for Judas Iscariot? Because in the life of Christ, there were two main men at the end of his life who betrayed him. Judas Iscariot and Peter also betrayed him. Did you know that? Because he denied Christ. Okay, he denied Christ. Okay? Now, the Bible is quiet about this, whether or not the Lord Jesus Christ prayed for Judas Iscariot. But I want us to ask a few questions. This is important. Okay, it has relationship to why Peter overcame, but not Judas Iscariot. Okay? Now, first question is, where was Peter in this situation? Where was Peter? Anyone? Where was Peter? Sorry? With Jesus, okay. Where was Judas? Sorry? Where was Judas Iscariot? He's not around yet, but where did he go? Sorry? He has gone off to betray Christ at this time, okay? More importantly, where was the heart of Peter in this situation? What was the heart of Peter? Is that Joyce? What's the heart of Peter in this situation? He was with Jesus, but what was his heart? What did he say he would do? He would die for Christ, right? Lord, I will go to prison, I'll go to the death for you. So, as much as he was maybe an impulsive thing, but you know what? The Lord Jesus had Peter had his heart with Christ, right? But what about Judas Iscariot? Where was his heart? Okay, look at John. Okay, the book of John, chapter 12, and verse 6. Where was the heart of Judas Iscariot? I'll just read this. John chapter 12, verse 6. This he said. This is what Judas Iscariot actually said. In John chapter 12 is the context of this lady who gave his expensive perfume, right, for the Lord Jesus. And Judas Iscariot said, oh, come on, why don't you just sell this and give it to the poor? And what did Jesus say? The Bible said, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. So what was the heart of Judas Iscariot? Sorry? Eh? Riches, okay, his heart was on the things of this world. The heart was on the things of this world. Okay? When a person's heart is set on the things of this world, it's very hard for the Lord's word to get through to him. In Philippians 3:18, just listen, Paul said this, for many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. And so Paul is saying, look, if you read the context of Philippians 3, Paul is talking about striving for the goal, strive towards the mark of the high calling of God, right? But immediately after this, he says, look, I'm telling you this, you need to follow people who follow Christ, because there are some people, I tell you with tears in my eyes, that they are not doing that, because why? They are enemies of the cross of Christ, because why? They mind earthly things. Well, let's put it this way, when we mind the earthly things, we won't be listening to what God is telling us, okay? And so, we need always to be in the presence of God. You can write that down. We need always to be in the presence of God. Now, let's push up a bit now. Right? After the mighty earthly things, God still works through other means to try to reach Judas Iscariot. Did you know that? Judas Iscariot's heart was fixed on the things of this world. God was still trying to reach him through other means. By his love, remember when Jesus was arrested, and what did Jesus tell Judas? Friend, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Friend. The word friend is filio, a term of affection between two persons. Jesus called Judas, friend, I still love you. But is that what you're doing to me? Alright, so by his love. But you know another thing, did you know that God was convicting Judas Iscariot's heart? In Matthew 27, if you want to turn there, it's up to you, but it's okay, I'll just explain to you. Judas Iscariot actually came to the Pharisees and says, look, I cannot take this money, I betrayed innocent blood. He knew that Jesus was innocent, he threw the money down and said, I cannot take the money anymore. You know what the Pharisees said? That's your problem. It's not my problem, alright? And so, God still works through other means for a person whose heart is set on this world. But, notice, Jesus did not say this to Judas, but whatever we are reading today, Jesus said it to Peter. Okay? Now, when a person's heart is with the Lord, and we are reading the Bible and in church and hear the preaching of God's word, sometimes you get uncomfortable. As Peter was when the Lord Jesus Christ told him. Notice what Jesus... Remember what Jesus told Peter? When Peter said, oh, Lord, I'll die for you and I'll go to prison for you. Jesus said, before the cock crow twice, you're going to deny me three times. Sometimes in the hearing of God's word, we hear things unpleasant to ourselves. Okay? We say, Lord, me deny you? And sometimes through the preaching of God's word, through the hearing of God's word, as you read the Bible, you can get uncomfortable. Okay? But you know what? Even though Peter was uncomfortable, Peter's heart was with Christ. Amen? Learning lesson for us as Christians, no matter how uncomfortable you get with God, if God is piercing your heart with conviction in your heart in certain areas, keep your heart with Christ. Peter still loved Jesus. I think we all know, through his life, even after he betrayed, the Bible says he wept bitterly. Okay? And so, we need to be in the presence of God, in our devotions, in our attendance on the things of God in the local church, because it's a pillar of ground of truth. As we come to the Lord's Supper tonight, I want you to remember a few things. The Lord Jesus will be going through the trial of his life. The biggest thing that he was going to go through. Now, what is the trial of his life? What is the trial that Jesus is going to go through? Sorry? Huh? Okay. Alright, the first one would be the crucifixion, but more than anything was the separation of God the Son and God the Father. There was one man of God many years ago, he was sitting down in his room and he was meditating about the separation of, he was just there, he was just meditating and one of his helpers came in, wanted to talk to him, but because he was meditating, he walked out. 3 hours later, the servant came in. And a helper came in and wanted to still ask him. And that was when he heard this particular man said, God separated from God. Think about that. I can never understand it. God separated from God. But you know that actually happened. You know why? You know why God separated from God? Anyone can tell me why God had to separate from God? To suffer our eternal punishment. Because spiritual death is man's separation from God forever. Does that make sense? And so when the Lord Jesus Christ was forsaken by God at that particular moment in time, God took the sins of the entire world and punished Christ. And that was when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some people may ask, but Brother Johnny, that was just for a brief moment. I think we all understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is infinite God. And because he's infinite God, he's the only one in this whole entire universe that can die an infinite death for an infinite number of people to pay for an infinite number of sins for all time. Does that make sense? And so that one time separation is enough, because eternal God separated from himself. Something that you and I, even though we go to heaven, even though we sit at the feet of Christ and hear him teach us, we will never understand the holiness of God that made that happen, and the tremendous love of God that God actually willingly separated himself. But Jesus at this point was going to go through the trial of his life. But I would say that more than that, also remember that the disciples were also is going to have a trial of their faith. Okay? In Matthew 26 verse 31, I'll just read 26:31 in Matthew. Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. I want you to notice that all trials in your life are trials of faith. Are you listening? Very important. Any trouble that comes into your life, it's a trial of your faith. It's a trial of your faith. Okay? And that's important for us to note, because notice the Lord Jesus Christ's words in Luke chapter 22 verse 31. The Bible says, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. In every trial a Christian goes through, if every trouble on earth a Christian goes through, it is always a trial of your faith. Okay, when you have a problem that crops up, after I'll deal with that, it's a trial of faith. The Lord wants us to be encouraged today that although we go through trials, we will overcome. Okay, hopefully that will be an encouragement. Why? Because the Bible says Jesus is praying for us. Based on these two verses in Luke 22:31-32, I want you to tell you three things from these two verses. How we can get encouragement from this truth, okay? We will overcome, why? But there's three lessons here. Number one, we can see from Luke 22 verse 31, we will be tempted and trialed to the point of despair. In the things of life, we will get there. The Bible says here, Satan has desired you, Peter, that he may sift you as wheat. You know, when people put wheat in the sifting tray or something, when they can throw it up, they want to get rid of the chaff. But you know what? Satan wants to get rid of Peter. Okay? Sometimes we can actually reach a point of despair in our walk as a Christian. I want you to notice two things about this trial. Number one, it is intentional. It is intentional. In other words, the troubles in your life was deliberately brought on into your life. Brought around by Satan, but permitted by God. Can I say this? God does allow trials to come into our life. Okay? When God allows trials in your life, He knows. Can I say this? God knows that you can take it. Does that make sense? When the trial comes, it's intentional. God knows that you can take it. In John chapter, I'll just read Revelation 9:11. Okay? Satan wants to destroy us. Okay? Revelation 9:11, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue has his name Apollyon. The word Apollyon means the destroyer. Okay? Satan intentionally wants to destroy us. Number one. Number two, the temptation is active. The plan is to try us, to make us stumble. Okay, when you go through the difficulties, there are two parts to trials. One is to strengthen us, the other part is to make us fall. Okay, now when Satan wants to do it, it's always with the goal of destroying, it's always with the goal of stumbling you. Okay, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12 verse 4, now let's turn there, Revelation 12 verse 4. I want you to read this passage and tell me what is this referring to, okay? Revelation 12 and verse 4. We're talking about an active plan. And I want to show you here there was an active plan. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 4. Okay, for those who, you know, how many of you have heard this before? That when Satan or Lucifer fell, one third of the angels followed him. Have you heard of that before? Do you know where is the Bible reference? Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 4. Okay, and his tail that drew the third part of the stars of heaven. The word stars oftentimes in the Bible refers to angels. Okay, and so his tail referring to the Satan drew the third part, one third of all the angels of heaven, and he has cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as he was born. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And the child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she had place prepared that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now, what is this passage referring to? What is this passage referring to? Anyone? What is this passage referring to? In verse 4, and the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour the child as soon as he was born. And she brought forth a man child who will rule all nations. And then in verse 26, the woman fled into the wilderness. What? What Bible story is this referring to? The story of? The story of? Sorry? The story of the birth of Christ. Do you know what this tells you? It's not even prophetic, it's just written in the Bible. God tells us, when Jesus was born, who wanted to kill him? Who wanted to kill Jesus when he was born? King Herod, right? Right? And this is exactly what was happening in the spiritual realm. I'm not being a mystic here, but this is what the Bible says. If you compare scripture with scripture, whatever happens on earth has already happened in heaven. And so, here the Bible says, in verse 4, the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to be devoured for to devour her child as soon as she was born. And that was what King Herod wanted to do with Jesus. But what happened? In verse 6, and the woman fled into the wilderness. What does that refer to? The angel of the Lord came, told Joseph, psh, don't go back to the king. And they went into Egypt. Went off. Alright? You know what? Satan works actively to destroy you, Christian. Satan works actively to destroy you, Christian. The Bible tells us. And so in this situation, Jesus is telling Peter, Satan has desired you. In other words, Satan has placed his heart on you, Peter, to destroy you. Okay? Now that sounds a bit scary. The last one, the temptation is to destroy our faith. Because Jesus said, I'm praying for you that your faith fail not. Not your money fail not. Not your career fail not. Not everything, not your health fail not. I'm praying that your faith fail not. Satan can take away everything, but Jesus aimed for one thing that he's praying for. Keep the faith. You know this, so it actually reminds us why so many people walk away from God. They lost faith. Does that make sense? And if you look at Judas Iscariot, he kept his heart on the things of this world. And the Lord couldn't get through to him. Okay? Now this is an important starting point because genuine Christians can be brought to the point of despair in your trial. And we need to understand, Satan's goal is to destroy your faith, not to destroy your health, not to destroy your career, destroy your faith. Okay? Now, point number two. Firstly, we will be tempted, but number two, we will overcome. Because Jesus said this in Luke chapter 22, verse 31, 32, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou converted, strengthen thy brethren. You know why we will overcome, Christians? Everyone sitting in this room can overcome the trials in your life. Amen? You can. I'm not just giving you positive thinking. The Bible says I'm praying. Jesus says I'm praying. How do we overcome? Okay, I'll give you some principles you need to have in order to overcome. Number one, in 1 Corinthians 10:13, anyone know that verse? 1 Corinthians 10:13? They had no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow that ye be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also provide a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. Number one, realize that God will never test us above what we are able. God will never test us over what we are able to stand. Why? Because He loves us. Okay? You know, there's an encouragement, because whatever trial you go to, oh God, I cannot take it. No, God says you can. Alright? When you say, I cannot take it, remember the trial came into your life because God knew you can. And therefore you will overcome. Christians have that hope. I'll tell you how next. But number one, in your mind, you must settle in your heart, God, thank you for the trial. I will overcome. I don't know how, but I know your Bible tells me that I can overcome. Christians, you don't live by what you think. You live by the promises of God's word. Does that make sense? Don't live. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He will direct thy path. Christians are to live by the promises and the grace of God. And we fail because we don't. We live by our own principles rather than by the promises of God. And so I'm telling you from the Bible, you will overcome, because Jesus said, God says, Paul says, God knows He's not going to tempt you more than you are able to. That's an amen. Amen? Do you realize that there's nothing you go through that you cannot overcome as a Christian if God is in your heart? That's what the Bible tells us, number one. Number two, how do we overcome? In 1 John 5:4, let's turn there. 1 John 5:4. We overcome by realizing that God will never tempt us. So we start off with that, by believing God and trusting Him. Verse 4. 1 John 5 verse 4. I need to turn there too. 1 John 5 and verse 4. Okay, let's read together, right? Ready? 1, 2, begin. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Okay, so how do we overcome this world and the things in this world, the trials of this world? By what? The Bible says by faith. Okay? What do we do when we face trials and difficulties? Generally, okay? Okay, when we face the difficulties in our life, some things get stuck or we face a problem. Okay, what do we do usually? What do we do? Brother Joshua, when you face a problem, what do you do? Both.
Panic.
Okay, first say panic. Okay, that's nice. What, before you're Christian or after you're Christian? Okay.
Trust God and pray.
Okay, trust God and pray. Okay, but generally many Christians still what? Panic. When they face trials and temptations. Ah, I cannot take it anymore. Or you pull your hair, or you kind of go through that kind of God help me, the kind of thing. I'm going to ask you a personal question. Okay? How many of you are actually facing trials in your life right now? Put out your hand. Don't be shy. Facing trials in your life. Well, our whole church is trial-free. Amen. Amen. So that means we have nothing to distract you from following Christ, right? I'm serious. How many of you are facing trials in your life? And the reason why I ask that, if you put up your hand, is this. How are you overcoming it? By rationalizing? By thinking through? Nothing wrong with thinking. How are you overcoming the trials in your life? We already know from the Bible, every Christian will overcome. Okay? How are you overcoming it? What is God telling you? I just read this commentary, alright? You think. Just listen to this. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. One truly born of God will overcome the world. The word translated as overcome has an additional sense of being victorious, to win the victory. clearly implied is that one who is truly saved will in due season overcome the world in his life. He may not always be all that he ought to be, nor do all that he ought to do. But if he has been truly born again as a Christian, he will overcome the world in his living. Based on what John says, if you do not overcome something, I'll read on. The converse is sinister. That means it's sinister. One claiming to be saved, but who never gets over his or her love of the world and the things thereof, has never been truly saved. Common experience in the Christian life sadly indicate that the number of the second group of people are many. This is a commentary by an independent Baptist, not by a Reformed person. When I read this, and if you look at the Bible, because John says, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. Christian, do you have a bad habit? Or do you love the things of this world to the point that you cannot give it up? The love of the Father is not in you. Does it make sense? And that's something very, very important. The simple spiritual weapon by which we overcome the world is faith. Trusting in the promises of God. You know, one of the things, I'll be honest with you, sometimes as pastor, faith again, obedience again, trusting God again. But you know what? That is the only way to overcome the world. That's what the Bible says, and I'm sorry you will hear it again for the time I'm a pastor here, because that's what the Bible says. The only way you will overcome this world is by your faith, by trusting Jesus, by reading the Bible. I'm not going to stop saying you need to read your Bible. And for your information, I hope you make plans. By God's grace, 4 to 6 weeks, weekly, we're going to have a Bible reading workshop. And I hope the entire church will attend. Where we will specifically we'll help everyone. Some of you, Brother Johnny, I don't know how to read the Bible. Well, you have to make time, okay? We need to have an entire church. If you are Bible believing, then we better be knowing how to read the Bible in the first place. Alright, in that 6 weeks, do you how to do your Bible devotions? We'll do it right here. We'll go through the process. We'll supervise and make sure at the end of you actually gain something from God's Word. Okay, we're going to do that. But you know, we need to read the Bible, because God says to overcome this world is by your faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by God's Word. But how many of you read your Bibles today? Oh, I don't have to put your hand. How many actually read your Bibles today? And let me ask you, what do you learn? Can I say, every day you must learn something from God? Amen? And that's how you overcome. If you don't have God's Word, how are you going to overcome the world? You know, this is what the Bible is a book of doing. Okay? And I want to encourage you, because you see, the simple spiritual weapon by which we overcome the world is faith. We are saved by faith. We grow in grace. We learn to live by faith. By faith, we learn that the promises of God are far better than anything the world can offer. Alright, I like the song. You know, I'm richer than a king, wealthier than a star, happier than a millionaire, driving a fancy car. If all you think about is the things of this world, you have no faith. Faith looks at something far more than this world. The things of this world. The thought parallels what the writer of Hebrews wrote regarding Moses and how by faith he rejected the pleasures of sin in Egypt. Remember? Well, Christians, we overcome this world by faith. Do you have a bad habit, or do you have something in your life that, you know, a bad habit simply is the flesh getting too addicted to something. Agree? A bad habit that you know is bad, it's just your flesh getting addicted to something that you know you're not supposed to have. That's why it's called a bad habit. Watching too much TV. Okay? You know what? If you cannot give up your TV, I'm not saying you're not saved, but you know what? The Bible seems to suggest that if your faith, say, and if you're watching our TV means you don't read as much of your Bible, you're watching our TV means you stay home rather than come to church, you're watching our TV means you rather stay home, watch TV than doing something else for the Lord. Where's your faith? And some of us, you know, one of the things I learned as a Christian, over and over again, I have to tell myself, I need to make a decision. I need to make a decision. When was the last time you made a decision to do something for God? In other words, you say something like this, Lord, I'm going to stop this. I'm going to ensure that I read my Bible. I'm going to ensure that I go soul winning. I'm going to ensure, Lord, I'm not going to give any excuses anymore. I'm not going to rationalize anymore. Yeah, no matter, I'll go. I can tell you, the Christian who moves the fastest are the one who makes the decision all the time. A Christian that doesn't... there are some Christians who always pray, Lord, help us. Can I say, God is not going to do anything for that Christian. You know why? Unless you're willing to say, Lord, I will, and God will help. Because God said, I will help you, but you're not doing anything. You're asking me to help. I'm there. What are you doing? Is it easier to push a stationary car or a car that's moving? Think about that. Christians, we need to be willing. Alright? And am I speaking to people who are not overcoming? That you find that your life has been the same very pretty much for the next last many months. It's just, yeah, come to church, do. Are there steps of movement? How many of you honestly can know that God is moving in Ambassador? You know how many times with tears in my eyes I think, God, we don't deserve this, but God, yes, there are brethren here who are taking efforts to do something. And I always pray, God, when your people move, Lord, please bless. I can tell you, those who have been with Ambassador for a period of time, you know, what God has done this year is unprecedented. We have never seen the blessings of God. We try. Some of those people who have gone tracking, we've gone and gone and said, where are the results? God is pouring in the results now. Amen? We have two Indian couples who, we are praying that they will come. It's out of the blue. I think one of the sisters just gave a track to the man. Said, oh, come! And he looks younger than me, but he's older than me and he's fitter than me. And he plays soccer still. And he says he'll come. He's a grandfather and he says he'll come on Sunday. Amen. You know, I met one on attracting. And you know, one of the blessings I had was this particular man. He's probably in his late 20s. Alright? Me, my mom, and who was the one? Edward was with me. You know, I was speaking to him. The dad was sitting there. The mom was sitting there. There was a sister, I believe, was sitting there. We all watched the whole room. House was pitch dark. And then, out of the blue, this man came out. And I spoke to him in English. And I said, hi, my name is Johnny. I'm from the Bethel Baptist Church. I'd like to give you this. And he didn't resist me. He was there. He was listening. And I asked, have you been to church before? Yeah, I have. And, okay, which church is that? Oh, that was a long time ago. And he said something along the lines that he said he, interesting for me was he knew, he accepted the Lord. And he said that night on Wednesday. You know, I'm very bold with this by saying, look, I believe God sent me here to ask you to come back. Because he, you know, when you trusted Christ, you know what he said? I know I'm always safe. It's like, but you know what? The reason why he stopped going to church was because his parents stopped him. You know what I did? I pointed to my mom beside me. Amen? I pointed to my mom. My mom did that too. And she's here today. You get quiet. And I'm praying. His name is John. His name is John. We need to pray for John to come. He didn't want to give me his handphone. But you know what? He stood there. He listened. God's doing it. God is just doing wonders. But you know what? We need to make a decision. Because in order to overcome, can I say this? Remember the story of this Gurkha soldier who was surrounded by 30 Taliban. Remember? In the news, I think a few months ago, last year, he said, look, I'm going to die anyway, so I'm just going to fight my way out. Right? And he survived. You know why? He said, oh, I'm going to help. Allow it. No, it's not. He's going to take whatever he had and start whacking everyone who comes. And guess what? He survived. He branded a hero. He said, no, I was just fighting for my life. You know, I'm just there. I didn't have any choice. Either I fight or I die. So he decided, I'm going to fight. And Christians, we need to fight. Amen. Fathers, we need to stay and fight for your family. You say, Lord, I'm going to be the best father for my wife. Not my wife, my children. Best husband to my wife. And Lord, I'm just going to live for you. And God, I know it's going to be tough. I know my health may break. But God, I'm going to live. You know, mom say, I'm going to just live and it's a point. I have to do what I can. And children say, I'm going to obey my mom and dad. I don't care what's going to happen. I'm just going to live for you, Lord. You know, I'm going to do the little things that will please you. And once you start deciding, I can tell you, God breaks out. There will be breakthroughs. There will be breakthroughs. We will overcome by our faith. Christians, are you living your life by your faith or by your thinking? Many times we deceive ourselves. We pray, but we don't get answers. When was the last time God answered your prayer? In a real way. I'm not talking about, oh God, please help us. Oh, you know, some things are just natural. When God answered a prayer, He answered a prayer. You know what? He answered our prayer. We had 50 for VBS. When God answered our prayer, we had so saved a youth camp. Oh, we had a hard time in terms of tiredness, and we had so saved. We had the outcomes, the spiritual fruit that we can hopefully, by God's grace, when we see Christ, say, Lord, this is something for you. Does it make sense? We will overcome, Christians, but you know what? We overcome by our faith. Question is, what do we believe? Do we believe God can change our life? Can I ask any of you, do you believe God can change you? Like I say, I don't believe in this positive thinking, but you know what? The Bible is very clear. If you are in Christ, you are a new creature. You are new. Children, don't get the thinking, I'm always like that. No, you can be what God wants you to be. You can overcome your bad habits. You can overcome your disobedience. You can overcome that. Why? Because if you truly have Jesus in your hearts, you can. We will overcome. Whatsoever is born of God, what? Overcometh this world. Yes, well, Bob Johnny, I'm struggling. Yes, sometimes it may take time. That's where in the local church, we pray for one another and encourage one another. Another way we overcome, turn to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. We will overcome. Revelation chapter 12. Verse 10 to 12. I'll just read as you turn there. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. Why? For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. The people in heaven were rejoicing because they saw in the future Satan cast down, the accuser of the brethren cast down, and they were rejoicing. But you know what? As before that, you know what? We need to have that vision. One day Satan is cast. By the way, Satan is destroyed. Satan is defeated already. He's defeated already. He's just fighting the little battles all he can to gain what he can. But he has lost the war. Amen? Satan has lost. Satan has lost. But right now he's doing all he can to get what he can now. He accuses the brethren. But in verse 11, how do the Christians overcome him during the tribulation period? The Bible says they overcame him by what? The blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. That means they trusted in what God can do rather than what they can do. They trusted in the blood of the Lamb. Number one. Number two, they overcame the devil and the trials of this life by the word of their testimony. By the word of their testimony. Can come in, but remember next time you're going from their side. They overcame him by the word of their testimony. No, Christian, do you trust Christ? And what is the word of your testimony today? When someone looks at your life, what would they say? What would you say? Do we complain? Do we criticize when we go into trials? And say, God, that's not fair. Or do we say, thank God for my trial? You know what the Bible says, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, I believe, do all things without murmuring. It's a mark of a Christian a Christian doesn't complain. Did you know that? The mark of a Christian is someone who does things without complaining. Because Paul says, do all things without murmuring. We will overcome. And we need to trust Christ and allow God's word to be part of our lives. Okay, we will overcome because number one, Jesus is praying for us. But number two, because the Lord Jesus promised, when thou art converted. Can I say this? Listen to Revelation chapter 2. We will overcome because Revelation chapter 2 verse 10. I love this verse. Revelation chapter 2 verse 10. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. You know what the 10 days mean? It means two things, possibly. Number one, it means a literal 10 days. You're going to go through the prison for 10 days, then they're going to kill you. Or, the 10 days represents a period of time. You know what that tells you? Your trials are not forever. Amen? Your trials are not forever. You know, sometimes, oh, I'm going to die. But sometimes our trials will last this life. 70 years compared to eternity. Is that too long? It's too long for us because we go through it. But you know what? The Lord Jesus says, it's only a matter of time. We will overcome. If you're a genuine Christian from your heart, you will overcome in two ways. Number one, you will overcome the trial, and the trial is over, or you will stay on in the trial, but you become confident in Christ to overcome that. One of the things in therapy, there are two outcomes we look for in families who have children with problems. One of the things is the children improve. If the children improve, everyone is happy, you know, because they overcome their disability, they are able to do their normal functions. But you know what, if the child don't overcome their disability, then the second outcome we look for is that family becomes so strong, they say it's okay, we'll still work with the child. You know, Christians, when we go through trials, it's either you overcome the difficulties in your life or Christ overcomes you. And He gives you the power to say, yes, I'll go through the trial, but I know my Jesus is with me. How many people have gone through cancer that way? How many? I shared into the Chinese church. I shared before, but I think myself and we went to see this. Batilong, we went to see this man who was lying in bed, I think with all kinds of problems in his... And we found out that he was in hospital for, I think, 2 or 3 months. He was lying there, he had, I think, liver failure, kidney problems and all that. And we went there, we wanted to be an encouragement to him. But you know, one look at him, he looked at us, he said, if this is God's will, I'll accept it. Well, I tell you, we left that place and we were more encouraged than him. The person in the bed... he's not very rich. He doesn't have much resources. His wife is blind. Two other children too. He's just an odd job laborer. And here he is in bed. He's a Christian. And he says, if this is what God wants me to be in this bed, I praise Him. I thank God for him. Oh, what a blessing that is. If I cannot overcome the trial, I let Christ overcome me and let Him take control. Can you see the overcoming spirit? Do you realize in the seven churches, what is the last word that the Holy Spirit, that Jesus says to all churches? Him that overcometh will I give. Him that overcometh. The seventh him that overcometh is at the end of every letter to the seven churches. Can I encourage you today? We will overcome. But finally, Jesus said in Luke chapter 22, let's turn there and then we'll close. Luke 22 and verse number 32. The Bible says, but I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not when thou art converted. The word converted means when you are, listener, the word converted means when you are recovered. The word converted in the Greek means when you are recovered. In other words, you were strong, then you fell. You were discouraged, maybe disillusioned, maybe fell into sin. But Jesus says, I pray for you, your faith fail not. When you start to trust Christ again, when you are recovered, when you are converted, when you go back to your original state again. Okay? You know what Jesus wants us to do? Point number three, where we must help another brother who is struggling. Can I say, I believe there are many Christians here, and maybe Christians out there, who are struggling. We thank God that many years ago we had one person come to this church, and the person was struggling with some family difficulties, and... We preached the word of God, and God filled the person's heart with love, went back, dealt with the family problems, things are much better. Okay? Although there were many accusations of what we do, but you know what? The person's life was changed. Amen? But you know what? We need to be praying for one another. Many of us struggle with things that we don't even know what we struggle with. But you know what? Whatever you struggles you go through, remember, don't give up the faith. Satan aims for that. Satan aims to destroy your faith. Satan aims to do it. I'm going to expose him for what he does. He's not going to say, oh, if you do this, now your career is not going to... What he's doing is actually attacking your faith. Did you know that? In other words, if you are concerned for your career, it means you don't trust God. Does that make sense? And what he wants you to do is, you must think more about your future. Yeah? But God says what? You trust me with your future. Okay? And so that's what God wants us to do. We must help another brother who is struggling. As we approach the Lord's Supper, recognize that this was taken in trials. Let me just read. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 about this thing about helping another brother who is struggling. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3 to 5. The Bible says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation." Memorize that. God is a God of all comfort and He comforts us in all our tribulation. Amen. If you belong to Christ, He comforts us in all our tribulation. "That we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we are comforted, we ourselves are comforted of God." You know, this is a responsibility. If you have gone through the trial, if God has comforted you, you know what God says? You are responsible to comfort another brother with the comfort you receive. Okay? We cannot be selfish about that. We go through life, we receive comfort from God, we need to look out for someone else, or you're going through the same problems, or you're going through some difficulties, let me encourage you with what God's encouragement has given to me. That is our responsibility. We must help another brother who is struggling. Because Jesus told Peter, when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. The word strengthen simply means add courage, add faith, add strength, so that when the brother looks at you, he can depend on you for a pillar of strength. But you know what? If we want to strengthen someone, but we are not doing anything ourselves, we can't strengthen another person. What's there to strengthen? Alright? And so we need to be able to strengthen the brother who is struggling. As we close now, I just want to summarize. Christians will overcome. Christians will overcome. There is nothing in this life that can stumble a Christian to the point that a Christian feels defeated totally. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of the universe, is within us. We will overcome. Okay? And I hope you take this thought home, because we will. You know, Christians, we need absolutely to trust Christ to help us overcome. He is a God in heaven. He's the God in heaven, but you know what? He's God just beside you. Amen? Jesus says, "I am with you always, even unto the ends of the world." When you go through the fire, Jesus says, "I will be with you." When you go through the floods, the water will not overwhelm you. When the fire is upon you, it will not burn you. When you go through nothing will topple a child of God. Why? Because you are safe in the hands of your Heavenly Father. Trials will come. It's part and parcel of life. Okay? But it is not going to destroy you. Because Jesus says, "I have prayed for you." You know, we have friends. Afterwards, we will be praying for one another. But do you realize Jesus has an unchangeable priesthood? He continues to pray. You realize Jesus is not someone who sits in heaven and kind of just dictates how the world works. No, He's praying for us before God the Father and say, "You know, God the Father, you know, Johnny is such a but I'm praying for him that his faith fail not. Father, you know, so and so is like this, and you know, Lord, he's just whatever in his life, and Lord, he's worried about his career. But God, help him to learn to trust me. And I'm going to do what I can. And I'm going to send the angels to protect him. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to convict him. This Sunday, I'm going to prepare the message to encourage his heart." Jesus is praying for us. And Christians, we can take heart. Dads, moms, children, let's work together. All those, if you are the only light in your home, let the light of Christ just shine and burn. Alright? We will overcome, Christians. We need to learn that we are tempted sometimes to the point of despair, but we can overcome. And as we overcome, we must help our brother who is struggling. Alright, let's have a word of prayer as we close. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, thank you for the people who's listening attentively. Father, when all that's said and done, Lord, we know that number one, Satan wants to destroy our faith. Number two, we thank you, Lord, in Jesus Christ, we will overcome. That's what you said in your word, Lord. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Father, our overcoming is not in our own strength, but in the strength of Christ. For I can do all things through Jesus who strengthens us. I can go through the difficulties because He strengthens me. I can go through the pain that perhaps may come because Jesus strengthens me. I can go through the offenses that may come because Jesus strengthens me. God, a genuine child of God will overcome because your word says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh this world. And this is what that overcometh the world, even our faith. Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, our trust in your word, our belief in your promises, and our encouragement through the application of your word into our lives. Father, I ask for you to touch us today. With our eyes closed, heads bowed, before we take the Lord's Supper. Just now you didn't put up your hand, but you know, brethren, are you undergoing trials in your life? And you say, Brother Johnny, pray for me, that my faith fail not. That I learn to trust God more through the trials. Is there anyone like that? Amen. I see those hands. Amen. I see those hands. Just put our hand up and down and just pray. And pray, Lord, help me. Like Peter, I will fail. But God, you are praying for me that my faith fail not. Some of you may be going through difficulties, or you find that in your life as you deal with problems, it's not always by faith, but you say, Lord, help me. Is there anyone like that? Pastor, pray for me that God will help me to deal with life's issues by faith. Is there anyone? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the brethren that put up their hands. Lord, thank you. We will overcome. We will, because the Lord Jesus Christ has conquered sin, death, Satan, and life's defeats. God, there's nothing in this world that can defeat a child of God surrendered to you. Lord, we know we are imperfect, all of us, including myself. But God, how we beg of you to change our hearts. Oh God, we repent of the thinking that we will always be the same. We submit, Lord, our hearts to you to know that we can change because of what you will do in our lives. Father, the word that is spoken today, how you personally dealt with Peter, Lord, I pray you deal with us also. For those who have put up their hand, Lord, I pray that you will minister to them in a special way. As they read the Bible, Lord, speak to them. And God, before they leave, even in their hearts tonight, they will make a decision in their hearts that from now on, whatever trials that come, my first appeal is to God's word and prayer. And I will stop all that I want to do, stop my thinking, but go into your word. And so, Lord, I pray you encourage us as we partake of the Lord's Supper. What we're going to do is go straight into the Lord's Supper right now, with eyes closed and head still bowed. Spend some time in self-examination, just pray.